Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Artificial intelligence is getting good. Dangerously good.
Dangerously and good go together. This is Wretched Radio. That is the voice of one Pete Roberts. He owns Origin USA. That's Origin with an I, which could be a reference to Answers in Genesis. It is not a reference to the third century theologian who believed in conditionalism. No, it's Origin USA. It's a shoe company. And this fellow is starting to see the effects and the impact of artificial intelligence when it comes to human flourishing.
AI is the biggest technical thing ever in my lifetime. I mean, its influence is hard to overstate.
ChatGPT can write and edit and plan, and robots can do your dishes. In some parts of the world, factories are already running without humans. Machines working with machines, dark factories.
Humans are more likely to make mistakes than machines.
AI is a powerful tool, but as someone who employs hundreds of hardworking Americans and fought to bring manufacturing jobs back to the U.S., I'm stuck somewhere in the middle.
And you can't blame them for being there. On the one hand, you could say, no, take full advantage of it. It will increase your margins. On the other hand, you could say, dude, don't let machines replace human beings. Where does he stand in the middle? Because I think we can all appreciate the tug. If you employ, let's say that you employed, I don't know, picking up, you employed 100 people and your payroll was, it was $1 million a month. I'm making up numbers here, but you get the point. And along came an AI machine that could do the work of 50 of those people, cutting your salaries to $500,000 a month, and the machine costs less than $500,000, which means it pays for itself in less than a year. What would you do? You'd be tempted, wouldn't you? And that has always been the tug in American history. It has been more of a tug sometimes than others, because these things frequently are not considered. What is the impact? What is the effect on advancements in whether it is machinery or technology? What is the effect on human beings? We used to have such concerns. We don't anymore. And so I'm really grateful. I don't know if this guy is a Christian or not. I was struck by his commentary on the incursion of AI when it comes to human employment. Furthermore, I just heard Elon Musk say, the future of AI is that human beings, all of them, will not have to work. What? That is no, he's not a future. He doesn't know the future, but it's not hard to imagine that is where it is going, because what is AI doing? It's replacing people at work, because people can hype, they can have buy the software, buy the computers, and have it be cheaper and even faster than human labor. And people are losing their jobs. And people are not going to be able, they're not finding jobs either. Entire industries are being taken over by AI. Once upon a time, we would ask, well, what are the implications? You want to invent that thing? You want to roll that thing out in factories? What's the implication? And today, Elon Musk is saying the implication of AI is humans won't work. From a biblical perspective, why is that a problem? Number one, we are made to work. That is right. You and I are made to do what? To get this planet under control, to organize it, and to deal with the thorns and the thistles, to subdue this planet and to rule over this planet. And that takes work. If AI replaces work, then we're really not doing what we're here to do, work. Furthermore, human beings are made in the image of God. God is a working God, therefore we work. So if we can't work, we're not acting like God. This is a prompt. Furthermore, my question is, what is the economy going to look like? How does it work when nobody works? And we got these robots all over the place doing everything from mowing your lawn, doing your dishes, to doing your job. Do they get a paycheck? How do we exchange goods in the future? Nobody's work. Does the robot get paid? Okay, so you want a robot and you send the robot to work, I guess, and to get paid. Is that how it's not going to work that way, because the factories, the owners, they'll buy the robots themselves, displacing workers. And if you look through history, and just look at recent history, with the advancements of technology, I don't know that anybody was able to forecast this, but this is what we have seen in the last 50 years. Technology, your computer, your cell phone, it has indeed replaced people from work. But what has it also done? It's created other sectors. It's created other classes of work. These days, in order to get stuff up on the internet, zoinks, Scoob, it takes so many different skill levels. It really does. You would think, well, we'll just hire somebody to do the computer stuff. You need different people doing different aspects of computer stuff. And if you want to put images up, you want to design it, you need to maintain it, you wanted to store things, you want to distribute things, you want video playing, different job, different job, different job. And so what we saw with technology displacing some people from their tasks, it created other jobs. Now, there's going to be a segue. There's going to be a time lapse in between where people get put out of a job. They have to get retrained. They have to learn new skills. And then they can go into another sector of employment. What I'm wondering is, what are those sectors going to be with AI? What jobs is it going to create? You would say, well, somebody's got to repair the robots. They repair themselves. They make a robot that repairs robots. What are people going to do? How are they going to make a living? Who's talking about this? Well, apparently a shoe factory owner. His name is Pete Roberts. I wish more people had seen this video, because this is a subject that needs to be discussed.
How do I embrace technology without letting it erase the worker?
New jobs will be created. Some jobs will be lost. Every job will be changed.
I don't know what that looks like. What new jobs are going to be created? Somebody's got to make the robots. Nope. We make a robot that can make robots. I'm not an alarmist. I'm just worried about people.
I want to show you some of the ways we're already using it in our factories, along with some lessons we can learn from the last time a massive technological revolution hit humanity.
It happened. And people lost their jobs, but those jobs were ultimately replaced. I don't see that happening.
I've seen the movies too. John Connor riding his Honda dirt bike, running from the Terminator. What happens when this becomes sentient? What happens when it's powerful enough to replace manual labor? We're already seeing where this road leads.
This car factory in China uses hundreds of robots to churn out dozens of electric vehicles an hour, 24/7.
Dark factories, lights out manufacturing. Facilities designed to run with fewer and fewer people. Sometimes none at all.
Here you go.
We realized that employing people was getting increasingly costly. And for this type of work, which involves a lot of repetitive tasks, humans are more likely to make mistakes than machines.
Production runs nonstop, 24/7, 365. No injuries, no sick days, no.
Just think about all the different segments of the employment the world. Police. Why risk a human being's life? Let's have robot police. Go ahead. Think of one that doesn't require the humanity, the subjectivity that I don't think robots will ever possess. I don't think they can ever grasp that. I don't think things like even social cues, I don't think they'll ever be able to achieve that. Nevertheless, try to think of a sector that will not be invaded by AI. And if you're young and you're thinking about going to university or tech school to get a job in a particular field, you really need to be asking the question, will AI take over the field? It has happened. I know it's happening. I know young people. They went to university. They got their degree because when they signed on for the degree, it said, this 98% of our graduates get a job. Now, 98% don't. What happened? Well, there's a lot of reasons, perhaps one of which would be the H-1B visas, but AI. If you're young, please don't not. Okay, that's a double negative. Please think about AI and how it might affect your ability to get a job. And then I think we need to be asking another set of questions. Are there any implications for the church? Will we soon be seeing AI pastors? Next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Krotz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are. Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at FortisPlus.org, because real men know when they need real help. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they love the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org.
Lexicon. The Incarnation is one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. At the Incarnation, the eternal God became a human being. He did not abandon his deity, nor did he put on a human shell like a hand puts on a puppet. Jesus Christ is 100% human and 100% God, the only acceptable sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This isn't the first time humanity has faced a technological shock this fast.
This is Wretched Radio. That is the voice of the pretty concerned Pete Roberts. He owns Origin USA, shoe manufacturer, employs hundreds of people, and he's seeing the incursion of artificial intelligence, and he's wondering, how do I balance this? I want to put people to work, and yet there are so many advantages to having robots do it. If we don't enter this conversation as Christians, get ready for AI pastors. Now, in a sense, we probably have those already because so many guys are probably using AI to write their sermons. But I'm talking about, why can't the thing that gets up in the pulpit on Sunday be a robot? Why? It can prepare a better sermon. It has wider access to such a range of theological information. Its database is way bigger than Al Mohler's library. And that is substantive. AI, just that quick. Now, Al Mohler pretty much has all of those books in his brain somehow. It's quite staggering. With all due respect, Al Mohler, he ain't AI. Why not? Why can't there be a robot pastor who preaches a better sermon? Who says that a pastor can't be a machine? We need to start sharpening our pencils to come up with explanations for what is the problem with AI taking over everything these days. Let's go back in time. This is again from Mr. Pete Roberts. I don't know much about him other than he's the owner of Origin USA, taking us on a tour of history in America where we have seen shifts like this before.
The first rise of the machines happened in the 1700s. Before factories, before assembly lines, before mass production, textiles were made in what we called the cottage industry.
They spun in their own home the wool with which they were clothed.
In the 17th and 18th century England, most labor happened at home or in small workshops. Families used hand looms to weave fabric, they stitched garments, and they spun yarn by hand, one piece at a time. Then the machines arrived.
Yep.
First, the spinning jenny and a water frame. Water power and mechanization paved the way for the rise of Manchester's mills. Now, one worker could outperform 800 cottage workers, crushing the former production time. Centralized factories could produce goods faster and cheaper and at a scale no individual could compete with, and output exploded.
A blessing, yes. But what about those people? Were they displaced? Yes, they were. But what happened? Those machines needed to be built. Those machines needed to be maintained. Those machines needed to be advanced and improved. And so the jobs that were being done manually were replaced by a different type of work. This is why AI robots, though, are different. We don't need humans to make robots. We don't need humans to repair robots. We don't need humans to advance robots. In fact, Jimmy, you said you were just reading an article about the advancement of AI.
Yes, there's some researchers in Beijing, I believe, and some at the University of Pennsylvania State University. There's a new type of AI system that's called an Absolute Zero Reasoner. That it uses a language model that basically it asks itself and answers its own questions. So it's getting smarter.
It's getting smarter
on its own.
And when it can do everything that humans can do and more, now it can't do everything humans can do, but when it can do all of the work facets that are required for the planet to function and for food to be produced, what's going to happen to human labor? What is the economy going to look like? Who backs the currency? Who is in charge of the distribution of goods? Uh-oh, where could this go?
And now, I think we're entering a second great acceleration. I'm just not sure it's a good one.
My guess is, if you go out long enough, assuming there's a continued improvement in AI and robotics, which this seems likely, my prediction is that work will be optional.
There's Elon.
Optional. So
we'll take that.
Oh, no. You don't. Really? How many video games can you play before you get bored, sir?
There was a growing belief that automation should remove as much work as possible in the name of comfort and convenience.
That wasn't bad. Thank you.
But I believe comfort without struggle doesn't hold societies together.
Well, that's true. But biblically, we are made to work. That's what we're here for. Furthermore, to not work is not divine.
There was an experiment by a researcher, John Calhoun.
2.5 years ago, we found Dr. John Calhoun knee-deep in mice in the mouse heaven he designed.
He gave a group of mice everything they could ever want. Unlimited food, space, no predators, no struggle. And at first, it looked like utopia, a paradise. Then things got ugly. Social behavior broke down. Purpose disappeared. Some mice, which he called the beautiful ones, withdrew completely. They ate and slept and groomed themselves. They stopped mating. They stopped defending territory. They stopped doing anything hard.
Here he is lying in the can. These individuals who are not conceiving are the ones which are not stressed. They're the beautiful ones who lack involvement. That's the essential story of what's going on in our studies.
Eventually, the population collapsed and they all died out.
Dr. John B. Calhoun with a very sobering look at a possible future for us.
The takeaway haunts me. When nothing requires you to show up for others, to work, build, fail, compete, and try again, the social fabric unravels.
Now, are these machines, technology, and robots being designed to put human beings out of business and to put human beings off the planet? To reduce the population. I don't think that's the intention. I think the intention is good. I think the intention oftentimes is just who can be first, who can make the most money with this technology. So how nefarious it is, I don't know. But I do know that the results we are going to feel, you're feeling them already. Perhaps if you're looking for a job, you are entering the job market and you're struggling to find a career in your chosen field. Could it be because of AI? Let's keep moving forward. What about in 10 years when AI machines, these robots, can do pretty much everybody's job? We could have a president who's smarter than Donald Trump. Now, for some of you, I know you're going to find that hard to imagine, but we could have lawyers that have way more knowledge than... Now, you could argue that, well, no, some legal stuff, it takes subjective skills that robots can't possess. Okay, maybe, but certainly it can do a lot of research. So okay, how's about then those that do the research, paralegals? They're not needed. You got AI. Ooh, and this is going to come knocking. It already is knocking on the door of pastors. They're already tapping into AI to write their sermons. We need to be discussing what we're going to do with the AI machine, and we need to have it positioned and framed in a biblical voice.
For me, manufacturing isn't just about products. It's about connection to each other and to reality. Work is how we test ourselves, how we earn pride, how we pass on knowledge, how we create purpose. I want AI to support real people, the people who build, fix, and keep the world running. The challenge isn't stopping change, it's embracing it without losing ourselves. I don't have all the answers. I'm caught in the same vortex as you, but I won't stop one thing. Making.
It took one man something like 18 hours to make one shoe. The craftsman, at the end of his labors, often had a great sense of accomplishment.
No dark factories, just hands and daylight and products built with soul.
In other words, this is an anthropological issue, and if we don't define for the world what it means to be human, To this shoe factory owner, I love your intentions, but I don't think you can put the brakes on it. if people have the opportunity to be lazy, we're going to take it. Hey, you mean nothing but R&R all the time? You heard when Elon Musk said, no work, it'll be optional in the future. And people applauded. We'll take that. This feeds into the flesh. This feeds into selfishness. Furthermore, it undermines the value of humanity. Who is the cream of the creative crop? And the answer is not a computer. The answer is a human being. And if we aren't talking more about Imago Dei and what it means to be human biblically, get ready to sit on the couch, watch a lot of video games, and eat stuff if you can afford it. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.